If you have your Bibles this morning, or electronic Bible, we're going to be reading about 3 to 4 scriptures. I think 4. First 3 is going to be found in Genesis. First one is Genesis chapter 17, verse 3 through 4. Then Genesis 26 and 3. Genesis 28, 15 through 16. And then we will okay. Genesis chapter 17, 3 through 4. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. God talked with him. God's talking in this service this morning. He talked in prayer meeting last night. He talked at the men's conference. Genesis 26 and 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. You've got to be listening when God gives you directions. God is telling Abram to sojourn in the land, and he's going to give him something. He's going to give him all of this land, these countries. You need to be listening when God says, I want to bless you. You cannot be preoccupied with the noise of this world and the voices of this world. You must have a kingdom view, ready and sensitive always to hear what God says. Genesis 28, verse 15 through 16. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. Again, you've got to listen to what God is saying to you when he speaks to you. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. In this day that you live in, you better know that God is in this place. Church is not a place where you come to rest. You rest in the Holy Ghost. Church is not a psychologist's couch that you lay on and somebody kind of counsel you. Church is where we worship and be sensitive to hear what thus says the Spirit unto the church. All right? And then we want to go to the next one. What is the next one? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now what is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Can someone tell me? That's why we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now you got to do what he tells you to do. Right. And you can't do that unless you hear him.
That's right.
Unless you're listening to him. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Turn to your neighbor one side or the other and tell them, I've got to listen to God. Amen. Tell him, Marilyn. Tell him. You may be seated. I've got to listen to God. Mankind is born incomplete. Mankind is born incomplete. If you was born into this world, you was born incomplete. David of old said he was born in sin, shapen by iniquity. Humanity was born in sin and shapen by iniquity. We were born incomplete. In a very real sense this morning, we are all the victims of serious birth defect. Serious birth defect. Sin affected your sense of realizing how near God is to you. I felt it again last night in prayer. God is working behind the scenes. God is working behind the scenes in this congregation, in the lives of this people, in this congregation, the church as a whole. God is working behind the scenes. I already have people that is coming to me and telling me and saying to me that in a short time, even by summer, we will not have room to hold those that are coming. If we keep asking God, by your Spirit, draw the hungry and the thirsty, God will draw them. But we have got to be sensitive to the presence of God when we come in His presence. Mankind has got some serious birth defects. And most of us here are blessed with five physical senses. We can see, hear, smell, feel, taste. I like taste. You're going to go to lunch or dinner after a while, and you're going to see the food. It's better taste than seen. After prayer meeting, my wife and I went out for dinner. We went through a drive-thru called Penguin Point. First, before we went to Penguin Point, I went to Jimmy John's. I got the sandwich that I wanted. And then we drove around the corner to Penguin Point. She told me what she wanted. I ordered the chicken that she wanted with the side that she wanted. And then I ordered a family pack, Brother Eric, of French fries. Did we wait till we got home on that family pack of French fries? No. She cracked open the lid of that box of French fries. She'd open the lid, I'd get a couple, and she'd close the lid to keep them hot. She'd open it up and she'd eat it. And I made a comment to her. These taste wonderful. These are good. God is the best thing that you ever will have. In fact, the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's difficult to imagine our lives without these senses of seeing and tasting and hearing and feeling. They are the windows to our world. Imagine if you had ever seen the beauty of the world and tried to imagine what it would be like not to be able to see the beauty of the world. Perhaps you could hear the sounds of the world, but you couldn't see them. No reference point, because seeing gives us a reference point to what we're hearing. Had no idea what a human face would look like, never seen it. Never saw a smiled expression. The emphasis of gestures or the complexity of a crowd, the colors of a room. Someone mentions red or green, it's only a concept of what you've never seen before. It's almost unimaginable to think of the world completely cut off. No impulses, no information coming in, no sight, sound, smell, touch, or taste, nothing at all, no reference. The world itself beyond knowing, distant, simply not there, unreachable in comprehension. There is such a world, and man once had a home in a world that was so incredible. God made out of the dust of the earth a man and a woman. In fact, the man and took the woman from the man's side. Placed them in what the Bible calls a garden. You can imagine being born out of nothing and placed into something, but have no referral point of what the something is about. This creation that God made would not have any reference point if it wasn't a visit from the Creator. He visited them in the evening, in the cool of the twilight. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." They heard the voice of God walking in the garden. They heard the voice. What does His voice sound like? What was it saying in the cool of the evening? Man out of dust, woman from the rib of the man, set in the midst of a creation, having no real concept of all that there is, except they heard the voice. "I once was lost, but now I am found," the song says. "I will tell you, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. But because of the grace of God, I heard the voice of God." God's voice is available through grace and grace alone. You see, the sixth sense that we really need to have is the ability to recognize the presence of the Lord. The five senses is related to the world, to understand the world that you live in. The sight to see, the ears to hear in that way, tasting the things that we taste, feeling what we feel. But when it comes to the things of God and His kingdom, they are estranged to the man and the woman that's born in the world and sin and shapen by iniquity. This is why, like it was with Adam and Eve, that we must be sensitive whether we understand God or not. or understand what He's doing behind the scenes or in our lives. We must be able to be sensitive to this sixth scent, and that scent is the presence of God, to know and to understand and to feel and to comprehend there's a higher power or there's something that is around me and about me that I feel good about being in that presence. Adam and Eve, they heard a voice, saw certain sways of the trees, perhaps saw in some way His smile. Certainly they knew His joy in being with them. But in sin, sin robbed man of this sixth scent. And I'm not sure it has disappeared completely. This world is without any sense to understand the presence of God when it begins to move. They were driven by the garden and from the presence of God, but must have still retained some remnant of understanding not what they felt or saw. Even Cain was comfortable enough to be rude and flippant in God's presence. But unused, when you fail or follow through, when you no longer follow after the essence of God's presence, you will lose that ability to perceive He's in your midst. He's in the car with you. He's in the house with you. He's at job with you. When Jesus says He'll never leave you nor forsake you, it is more than being caught up with the voices and the things that we see and hear with the five senses of our lives. It must be developed. I want to know You, Paul said, in the power of the resurrection. I want to know You in the ability of Your kingdom and Your power and Your awesomeness. I sense God in this house. You can imagine Adam and Eve in that garden, new surroundings. It says they heard the voice of God. In our minds, we perceive the fact is that God walked in the garden and hollered for Adam and Eve, come over here, I want to see you and fellowship with you. The Bible doesn't tell us that. It says that they heard the voice of God in the garden. When you hear the voice of God, you are drawn to the voice of God. I would get lost in a grocery store, age 3, 4 years old, when my mother would take me there. She would put a harness on me with a long strap behind it, so I would not wander away from her. But when I could, I would go down the aisleways when I got loose from her. And then after a while, I wanted mama once more. And so I would holler, mama, and she would say, yoo-hoo. Mama didn't care what people thought. She heard her son in need of her. I would follow the yoo-hoo among the cans of green beans and pork and beans, the aisles of spaghetti or whatever was up and down those aisles. In the world, you can be so encumbered about by the things of your five senses, but never lose the ability to hear the voice of God, because that's your reference point, how to get back home, to get where you need to be in relationship with Him. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah. Joseph had a sense of God's presence. I've heard people say, well, I can't feel God. It's not about feeling God, it's about hearing God. Well, I don't feel God anymore. It's not about feeling Him. It's about listening to His voice. That inner voice that speaks into your spirit way down deep. Adam and Eve found God, I believe, in the garden because they heard His voice. And when you hear the voice of God, you are drawn to His presence. Joseph had a hard time. His family rejected him except for his dad, and his dad loved him. The story of Joseph is a sad, sorrowful story, but I believe what kept Joseph through his trials, what will keep you from your problems and your situation is, I believe Joseph was able to sense the presence of God. Tempted by Potiphar's wife, but his perception of God's presence held him to do the right thing and live the right way and reject what was wrong or what was presented to him. Moses met the presence of God while herding some sheep. Come by a bush that was not consumed with fire, is burning. God will set up meeting places. It could be in the early morning hours when you rise out of your bed. This morning, when I woke up, my wife said, well, she woke up earlier and she was laying there praying for her family. Why do they say the best time to pray is early in the morning? Because there's no distraction from hearing and sensing the presence of God. Why is it in a church service when the music is going and the worship is so strong and the power of God seems to be moving, is because God comes down in the habitation of the praises of His people. I sense your presence. I sense the glory of the Lord coming down. You can take Saul, that mean old fellow, that Saul was a rascal. But when David began to play and worship God, there's something that demons cannot stand. They cannot stand the music and the worship that goes unto the Creator. Bible says that Saul's spirit would be consoled. It would be quiet. It would be happy. His most happiest time was when he was in the presence of worship and singing. And I will tell you, my friend, I've seen it over and over and over again. People find solace in the presence of God. They sense Him in the worship, sense Him in the song, sense Him in the joy, sense Him in the reverence of all that's being said and spoken. That's why I'm praying that we have more music in this church. I love the music we have and the music players, Randy and Elena and the Jordan, Amaya. But I'm telling you what, there's nothing like that sets the mood and the process by when you begin to worship God. And you've had a long day at work. You've had a hard day at work. You've had pressures and problems, and you haven't had supper, but you come to church, and on a Wednesday night, you come in that building, and there's something about the washing of worship, something about the praise of God, and all that you've been pressed with all day long is washed away because you sense the presence of God is in this house. You can get caught up in so many things. Joseph had a sense of God's presence. His sixth sense was in operation. Paul described the plight of all when he cried out in a kind of baffled hopelessness in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. But the nature of man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You cannot enjoy God unless you spiritually. What does that mean, Pastor? Is that your spirit and God's spirit connects one with the other, and you assume and feel the anointed presence of God, and you're connected to him, and you cannot help yourself when the Spirit begins to flow like a river. Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Holy Ghost. When you worship him and there's a connection there in the Spirit, it flows and worship begins to break forth, and the presence, the anointing of God begins to unfold. And Paul said, I will tell you this, a carnal mind cannot perceive the things of God. How can they? They become foolishness to him. People can be lacking the sixth sense. I don't want to say that I know Jesus and do not recognize when he moves into the room. This is why Jesus says we must be born again. Yeah. This is not just a thrill. It's not a good feeling. It's not something that you do just have a good feeling. It's not just to save us by and by. This new birth revolutionizes us. All things become new. It gives us the sixth sense we were physically born without. And suddenly we recognize the presence of a whole new world around us. Suddenly, when we were born of the Spirit of God, realize we are not alone anymore in this world that we're living in, because when he said, he never leave me nor forsake me, I feel him in the battle. I feel him in the valley. I feel him on the mountaintop. I feel him in the struggle that we go through every day of my life. I sense that you're here. We don't have all the answers. Don't always know what to do. But there is in every circumstance the recognition of the presence of God. Does it matter, Pastor? Yes, it matters. You better believe it matters. Elisha's servant at Dothan in the Old Testament gives us this wonderful story. Elisha and his servant is surrounded more with us than with them. I like that. I want you to know that you may seem that you are alone in this world. I'm here to tell you, tell somebody this morning that wants to hear it. There's more with you than of the enemy. There's more of God than there is the thing that's bothering you and plaguing you and hounding you and chasing you. There is more with you than you can ever imagine. You have 1,000 angels, a multitude of witnesses that surround you with the power and the glory of God. He whispers into your ear, seek me and you will be found of me. Search me out, knock on the door, and I will open unto you. Powerful words. The sixth sense picks up. People everywhere are hungry for this sixth sense, I believe, that sometimes the church takes for granted. You say, what does God want me to do? What is your sixth sense tell you? Seeking for an answer, what does your sixth sense? You don't need an opinion of 15 to 20 people, you only need one. You only need God's advice. But you got to listen to him. You've got to listen to him. You got to be sensitive to his presence. You either got to use it or you'll wind up losing it, church. I'm not talking about some weird left field filed experience. No, no. A thousand times no. Where you are doing your work, whatever you're doing, you can recognize if you stay in relationship with Him, the presence of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. At His right hand, there is pleasure forevermore. Oh, let's lift our hands and love Him right now. His presence is the most awesome thing. It's not just a Sunday service. It's in His presence. We met the Lord in this house. I don't want to walk out here and say, I knew it not. I want to be in the house of God. I want to be with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Where two or three agree together, He'll be right there. I said, He'd be in your presence. He'll be there. He'll be there. He'll be there. Hallelujah. It's in that realm where miracles happen. It's in that presence, that sensing. I say to you, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ.
All right.
Well, who told you? He did. One day there was a man meeting the district board of Indiana for asking permission to go to a certain city to start a church. Superintendent of the district is a very good man, outstanding man, tremendous man, tremendous Bible teacher. But obviously he was caught up with facts and figures and problems or whatever of that area. And in the process of this, the superintendent said, "Who told you to go there?" And that little preacher said, "God did." Amen. They granted him, and he went there and built a church. Still going today. We can be caught up with the natural thing so much that we'd lose the presence of God and sensitive that He's there. My God is an awesome God. He's a powerful God. He's a wonderful God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's use our sixth sense, church. It's not important that we say to God, but it is important what God says to us. I'm going to say that again. It's not important what we say to God. It's very important what God says to us. How can you walk with God if you can't hear from God? Sometimes that's why you get in a quiet place. That's why you get alone with God. What do you want to say, God? Talk to me. I want to hear what you have to say. Amen. One time I had a GPS I had in my car. Now I use a smartphone, Google Map. Either one of them works the same way. GPS is supposed to tell you where you want to go. And I have on more than one occasion. In fact, you know, you can change the voices in that. You can change it from a man to a woman. I've changed mine to a British accent. And it sounds cool. I think you need to tone here. It's just the coolest thing. Change yours. Hello, you've missed your turn. Go down a quarter of a mile and turn around. And I go down a quarter of a mile or however takes and I turn around to go back. Without that neat little voice telling me, I would have kept on driving and wonder why that GPS wasn't working. They built voices into those things for a reason. Because most time we get distracted on the things we see that is around us. Same thing works for God. You and I get distracted by the things we've got to get done, the things we've got to do, the things we've got to accomplish on my list of success. But unless God blesses whatever you're doing, you will never be successful. This is why we need to hear the voice of God speaking to us. Hey, hey, you need to turn around and go back and do your first works over again. You maybe need to repent. You may need to love somebody that you haven't loved for a while or rejected for a while. Amen. I love the little testimony that Brother Frugate gave. Someone came to him and asked his forgiveness. Something happened years ago. Where did that happen? Where did that happen, Brother Frugate? It happened in the presence of God.
That's right.
In the presence of God, there was a voice that spoke to a man.
Right.
And he was sensitive enough to hear the voice and the Spirit of God that said, you need to go make it right with him.
Yes.
How many times we push that voice aside? How many times we push the presence of God aside?
Amen. Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
You cannot walk with God without hearing from Him. He's your GPS. He's your guidance. He's your direction. He's the one that speaks to you. Genesis chapter 22, verse 9 through 11. I'm coming to a close. Man, you ought to have been here Wednesday night. I walked out of this building amazed. I walked out of here amazed Wednesday night. How many watched it streaming? How many watched Wednesday night service streaming? You're not raising your hand because you don't want me to know that you was doing something else. How many wasn't working Wednesday night? Did you watch it streaming? You better get your ears anointed so you can hear the Spirit of God. Says you need to, if you can't be there, you need to tune into it. Oh, excuse me, I'm pastoring right now in case you don't know. Be careful how far you go away from His presence. I'm going to say this again. You can't walk with God if you're not hearing from God. My Jesus, God. I still feel the presence of God here. Still feel the anointing of God here. Mm-hmm. Brother Terry, I want you to read Genesis 22, verse 9 through 11. Would you start reading it?
And they came to the place which God had told them.
Whoa, stop. What?
God
will direct you to a place that He told you of. You need to be in the house of the Lord. Who told you that, God? I need to take more time out with my personal time with God. Who told you that? I heard sensitive in my spirit God speaking to me. I need to give Him more time than I've ever given Him. Go ahead, read. And Abraham built an altar.
And laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham,
Abraham, Abraham,
Abraham.
Knife is in hand.
Yeah.
Isaac's on the altar.
Yeah.
God spoke to him, showed him the place. Everybody's looking for a miracle. Everybody wants a problem solved in their life. Everybody wants a situation taken care of. But are you listening? Do you sense His presence? You can't get the direction unless you're listening to what He's saying to you. What if Abraham is so caught up with everything, but he's not listening? Thank God Abraham heard a voice. Can you imagine how intense he was? How under anxiety he was? This is his son. God said to offer him as a sacrifice. Do you realize that God can change His mind?
Yes.
But you have to listen to Him and sense His presence and recognize His voice. Abraham, Abraham. What else does it say?
And Abraham said, here am I.
And Abraham said, here am I. And Abraham said, here am I. And Abraham said, here am I. You cannot respond unless you're sensitive to His presence. Unless your sixth sense. And that sixth sense is the Spirit of God that dwells in you. How many times people have told me, well, Pastor, I want to do this. Pastor, I want to do that. Well, who told you you couldn't do that? Yourself. Because a carnal mind is enmity. It is strife with the Spirit of God. God's ready to flood this church. God is ready to flood the valley.
Come on, I believe that. Yes.
God's getting ready. God, now, I don't like that word, getting ready. God is. Some of it, God is. God is. God is. God is. How do you know that? Because I sense His presence and the voice of God.
Amen.
Who is that kook? A lot of things been on the website or on the Facebook about somebody in show business, something like that, said if you hear from God, that means you're crazy or something like that. Boy, I love being crazy. I love being crazy. I love it. You're just crazy, Pastor. You're just absolutely crazy. I felt crazy Wednesday night, but there was such an awesome power and the presence of God that moved in here Wednesday night. It was just incredible. Do you realize? Well, it wasn't because I was teaching or preaching. It was the presence of God that moved in, and people became sensitive. But just imagine this. On a Wednesday, boring Bible study night, people were actually standing up and praising God during the preaching.
Come on. All right.
Huh? Did you watch it Wednesday night? You better turn it on, son. I can't speak to you. And you, don't look over there. I'm looking at you. How are you going to say, here am I, God? Use my life. Use the purpose you have for me until you can hear. Until that sixth sense of the Holy Ghost inside of you is able to pick up the voice of God.
Oh,
I know it's different. I know it's a little strange. I know sometimes it's a little weird. I don't know. I don't know how to put it. Brother Frugate, he gets all wound up. I'm standing there, and he grabs a bottle of oil, and he takes off. I thought, there he goes again. In my mind, I'm like, there he goes again. Who is it this time? We can get so stiff in this thing. We can just get so formal in this. You can't turn a city upside down by just coming and doing religious things. Do it a religious way. You've got to move and walk in the Spirit. You've got to walk and move in a sensitivity of the Holy Ghost. And the power of God is moving. Power of the Spirit. Moving in the power of God.
Amen.
Wow. All right. Boy, I like, if I could be so-and-so. Man, they just really work in the Spirit. You know why? Because they work in the sixth sense. That's why you bring a preacher in here that works in the gifts of the Spirit, and everybody gets nervous. Because they know that dude is walking in the sixth sense. And you're sitting there and you're wondering, is they going to call me out? Are they going to come over by me? And they're going to read my pedigree? I hope, oh God, don't show them what I did this past week. Don't, no, God, don't know. Because you know. Everybody say, I know. They're working in that sixth sense. That God's able to show you and talk to you and reveal things to you. God loves you, young man. I don't care what you go through in your life. You understand this, that God has got His hand upon you regardless of any circumstances, any surroundings, anything. Amen? You're not the last guy on the totem pole. You're not. God's going to elevate you. God's going to give you something that you didn't see coming, but He's in your life as you, come on, as you stay faithful to Him, He's going to use your life, okay? Okay. Why don't you raise your hands right now? We just love you. We just love you, both hands right now. In Jesus' name. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amidst of a people that understands what the sixth sense of the presence, the anointing of God is. Let's stand to our feet right now, shall we? Come on, let's lift our hands up.
Yes.
We can't be called apostolic and fall into tradition. How many got things in your family that you want God to work on? Would you lift up your hand? Okay. You ask God to help you in your relationship of His Spirit and His relationship with you right now. I want you to hold your hand up. Come on, hold your hand up. Ask God to show you and speak to you what you need to say or what you need to do, how to work in that situation or that problem right now. Let's pray together right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord God, help us. Give us wisdom of Your Spirit. Give us the sixth sense of feeling after You and sensing Your presence that You can speak to us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit says unto the church, unto a family, unto an individual. Come on, hallelujah. God, I want to hear Your voice. I want to hear You. Direct my steps. Direct my life. Let me move and walk in the Holy Ghost. Let me hear Your voice. Moving and walking in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God.